title of this message today is Never Enough Thank Yous. Never Enough Thank Yous. And I'm going to be reading from a psalm this morning, Psalm 103. And it says this in Psalm 103, verse 1 to 2. It says, "Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things that he does for me." As I might have already mentioned, as you might already know, today is Mother's Day. And today is a day where we honor our mothers, where we thank God for our mothers. We thank God for the women who have had an impact in our lives, who have shaped our lives. We thank God for our grandmothers, for the spiritual mothers in our lives who've helped guide us and lead us towards Jesus. And you know, I'm especially thankful for all the women who've had an impact in my life, for my grandmothers here today, for my auntie here today. I'm grateful to God for my mother-in-law as well, for my wife at the back there, so grateful for her. But you know, today I'm especially grateful for my mother. Now, she's out there this morning, so she might watch this online, I'm not so sure. But you know, Mother's Day is a day to appreciate your mothers. And you know, I'm biased, but I'm going to say I got the best mother in the world. I really do. I know I'm biased, but you know, I thank God for her. You know, she's given me life, obviously. She's provided for me. She's taken care of me. She's corrected me quite often when I've been wrong. She's told me off. She's cheered me on. She's been on the sides cheering me on all the way through my life. She believed in me when nobody else would believe in me. She stood by my side. She's spoken wise words into my life. She's helped guide me. She's seen me at my best. She's also seen me at my worst, at my lowest as well. And through it all, my mother's loved me. Through all of that, through the highs and the lows, she has loved me through it all. And because it's Mother's Day, I was trying to think of a story that I could share about my mother. There she is up there with us. That's on our wedding day. I don't know if you can see that clearly. And George's mother's there as well, and our families. That's on our wedding day. But I was just trying to think of a specific story I could share about me and my mother. But as I was thinking, I just thought, I've got too many. I could probably be here all day sharing about what my mother's done for me and in my life. And there are too many things just to pick out from those things. But as I said, she's been with me every season of my life. She's been there for every chapter. She's been consistent in my life, but she's pointed me to Jesus. She's prayed for me. She's helped me in all those ways. And I know many of you could say that about the women in your life, for maybe your mother, for your grandmother, for the women who have made an impact in your life. You know, as I was preparing for this message, I just thought there's never enough things I could say. You know, there's never enough thank yous I could say to my mother for all that she has done. She has done so much for me. But as I said, as I was preparing for this message today, I began to think, if I'm this thankful for my mother, for what my mother's done in my life, how much more thankful should I be to God? How much more thankful should I be to him and for what he has done? Because he ultimately has given me life. He created me. He formed me in my mother's womb, which we've already read about in Psalm 139. He's provided for me. He's taken care of me. He's been there with every season of my life. He's corrected me when I've wandered, when I've gone down dangerous paths, when I've turned away from him and I've been doing things that I shouldn't have. He's corrected me and brought me back into line because he's a good, good father who will never leave or abandon me. He's cheered me on. He has loved me at my worst. Not only has he loved me, he proved his love for me. That even whilst I was still a sinner, he died for me. He's shown me that he's never stopped being faithful. As we've already sung this morning in that song, Goodness of God, all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. You know, there have been moments in my life where I really don't know where I would have been if it wasn't for God. I don't know where I would have been if it wasn't for him. I don't know if I would have been here even this morning if it wasn't for him and his hand in my life. He's opened doors in my life. He's closed the wrong doors in my life. He's helped me when I've been at my lowest. He's been there in those moments. In the middle of the storm, he's given me peace, which surpasses all understanding. He is blessed in ways that I cannot even count. He has strengthened me when I didn't have enough strength even to make it through to get to the next day. His strength has been there and helped me through it all. My God has been there every step of the way. And I'm so grateful for my God. And when I stop this morning and I think about all that he has done in my life, there truly is not enough thank yous that I could say to my God. But you know, it's not only me who feels like this morning. I'm sure all of you do as well. When you think about what God's done in your life. And the Bible tells us there's somebody else who had one of these moments where he was thinking about all that God has done. And he was thinking, there's never enough thank yous that I could give to God. There was somebody else. And that man was a man named David. Now, some of you might have heard of David. David was a shepherd. He was out on the fields. He looked after his father's sheep. But he went on to become the king of Israel. You might know David. He was the one who killed the giant Goliath. And David, the Bible tells us, he loved God. He was a man after God's own heart, the Bible says. But David didn't always get it right. David messed up in some pretty big ways as well. But he knew God's forgiveness. He knew God's mercy in his life. And David, he wrote many of the Psalms, which you'll find in the Bible. Probably the most famous Psalm of all, which many of you will know, is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. He wrote that Psalm. David was a worshiper. He worshiped God. He loved God. And many of the Psalms are made up of the praise of David, but they're also made up of songs. David was a songwriter. He was a worshiper. He loved the Lord, and he often wrote songs. I'm sure he wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd," when he was out on the fields looking after his father's sheep. I'm sure he thought about that in that moment. And he writes another song, and it's Psalm 103. He writes this powerful psalm, and he wrote this not just so he could put another song out there, not just so that it could be sung in the synagogues and the temples of the time, and not just so we could sing a song even today. But when David writes this psalm, he's actually preaching to himself. He's speaking to his own heart, to his own soul about what God has done. He's being reminded of what God has done in his life. He's reminded who God is and all that God has done for him. Listen how he opens up this song, this psalm. It says in verse 1 to 2 of Psalm 103, "Let all that I am praise the Lord with my whole heart. I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord, and may I never forget the good things that he has done for me." He begins by saying, I'm remembering what God's done in my life. I'm remembering the good things that God has done. It's like David is saying, come on. Come on, David. Come on, Di. I don't know if you as well, but he's saying, come on, David. Remember what God has done. Remember the things that he has done in and through your life. And I love this psalm because David doesn't just say, you know, remember what God has done. He actually lists the things he's thankful for. He begins to list just some of the things that God has done in his life. And as I was reading this, I thought, these are things that God's done in my life as well. They're not only things that God did in David's life, but we know that our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. And the God that David worshipped is our God as well. And he has done these things for us as well. And as I was reading this, I thought, God, I can thank you for these things as well. So what are some of the things that David begins to thank God for, that God has done in his life? Why is David so thankful? Well, David says, let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget all the good things that he does for me. Why? What's he done in his life? Number one, he said, he forgives all of my sins. Just let that sink in for a moment. He forgives all of my sins. Not some, all of my sins. You might say, what is sin? Sin is missing the mark. Sin is turning away from God, saying, I want to do things my way instead of your way, God. It's saying, I know better, God. It's saying, I'm rejecting you. Sin is betrayal. It's saying, God, I don't want to know you. I'm turning away from you. I'm doing things for myself. And he says, here he says, the God forgives all my sins. God doesn't just forgive your past sins. He forgives all sins. Past, present, and even the ones we'll do in the future. God forgives all of our sins. But not only that, God doesn't just forgive the big sins. Now, when we think of sin, we sometimes categorize it and think the sin is just the awful things like murder or like robbing a bank or all these things. But the Bible says he forgives sins, all sins, even the little sins, the little white lies that we say, the things that we do to hurt other people. He forgives them. He forgives the sins that nobody in this room might know about. He forgives the ones that nobody else knows about, the things that we know we've done wrong in secret, but the Bible says he forgives those. He forgives the ones that we've repeated, that we've tried to break free on, and we can't change. He forgives those sins. He forgives the ones that we're ashamed of, that we dread anyone else to find out about. He forgives all of those sins. He says, I thank God, I'm praising God, because he's forgiven all my sins. And not only has he forgiven all of David's sins, but I know he's forgiven my sins as well. All of my sins. And he's forgiven all of your sins as well. You might say, how has he done this? How has God forgiven all of the wrong things that I've done? Has God turned a blind eye to it? No, he hasn't. God paid the price for our sin, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. So how has God paid the price for our sin? It's through Jesus, through what we've done around the communion table this morning. Jesus took our place. Jesus took all of our sin upon himself, past, present, and future. Because of what Jesus did for us on the cross this morning, we are completely, totally, and utterly forgiven. You might not feel it. You might not, the enemy might try and remind you of things that you've done, but if you believe in Jesus, you confess your sin, and you've said sorry for what you have done, then the blood of Jesus covers all of our sins. It says in another psalm, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your transgressions, your sins from you. Jesus paid it all. Every wrong thing you have ever done or will ever do that people know about or no one else knows about, Jesus has forgiven. He's paid the price in full for you on the cross. Jesus took your sin, my sin, and the sin of the world upon himself. Jesus was punished so we could be pardoned. He was punished so we could be forgiven. 1 John 1, verse 8 to 9 says this, if we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Not some, all. Your worst thing that you've ever done, Jesus' blood still covers it. There is still power in his blood to forgive and cleanse today. There is nothing that you could do that could ever overcome the forgiveness and the love of God. Jesus, his blood, his body broken, what he did on the cross is greater than any sin. That's why his sacrifice is so great this morning. David says here, I'm praising God. Why? Because he's forgiven all of my sin. And I want you to know this morning, no matter what the enemy might say, if you ask Jesus to forgive you, he forgives you of all of your sin, and there's a fresh start. There's a brand new beginning in our Savior. You know, this morning, if I just even ended there, that alone would be enough to praise our God forever. That alone is enough to say, God, I thank you forever. I worship you forever, because he has paid the price for our sin so we could be reconciled to God and we can know his forgiveness in our lives. But David says here, I'm so grateful. I praise the Lord with all that I am because he forgives my sin. What else has God done in David's life? What else does he do in our lives? He heals all of my diseases. He heals all of my diseases. David says here, he's the healer. The God is the healer. And do you want to know something wonderful? He's still the healer today. He is still the healer today. You know, when we think about healing, we think about our physical bodies. God heals physically today. Did you know that? God is able to still open blind eyes. He's still able to help those who are lame. He can still make them walk. He is still able to raise dead people to life. He is still able to do that. God is able to heal our physical bodies. And it might be small things, it might be big things, but God is still the healer and he can heal you today. I believe that even in little old Abraham, I believe God can heal you today. If you need a physical touch from the Lord, God is able to do it this morning. He is the healer today. But not only does our God heal physically, our God heals emotionally, and our God heals spiritually as well. God heals spiritually. He heals our bodies, but he also heals our hearts as well. He heals the places that no one else can heal. He is able to touch those places. Our God touches the places that medicine can't reach. Like grief, God is able to bring comfort and healing there. Like fear, our God is able to cast out all fear. Anxiety, our God is able to bring peace in the middle of our anxiety. Trauma, God is able to bring healing there. Bitterness and anger towards someone or something, he's able to bring peace and wholeness and healing into those places. How do I know that? Because I've seen God do things even in my life and in people's lives that I love. God is able to do it. And all of that healing, it flows from Jesus. Jesus is our healer. He carried our pain. As we heard about last week from that powerful message from Pastor Rob, Jesus bore our suffering. He bore our suffering. The Bible says this wonderful thing about Jesus in Isaiah 53. This was a prophecy about what Jesus would endure. This happened hundreds of years. It spoke about Jesus hundreds of years before Jesus came to this earth. But it said this. It says in Isaiah 53, verse 4 to 5 about Jesus, it says, "Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed." Or as the King James Version says, "By his stripes we are healed." Not "we have been," we are, we will be, we are right now. We are healed because of Jesus. I know there are many in this room today that are still standing here because Jesus has healed something in your life that nobody else could. There are some of you who are here today because Jesus has healed in some way, emotionally, spiritually, physically, mentally, whatever it might be. Jesus has touched you today, and that's why you're still here today. That's why you can still sing about the goodness of God in your life. All my life you've been faithful because Jesus has healed, because he's done something in your life. And I want to encourage you today, if you need healing in some way, he's still able to do it right now. Whatever you need, the healer is here. God is able to heal today. So David says, "I thank the Lord, I praise the Lord, because he forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases." Number three, David says here, he says, "I thank God because he redeems me from death." Or he buys me back from death. He purchases me from death. He rescues me from the claws of death. David knew what it meant to be rescued. If you've read about David's life in the Old Testament, you'll see the battles he faced. You've seen the awful situations he got himself in. But time and time again, how did he get through it all? Was it because of his own strength? Because he was clever? Because he had friends? No, it was because of God. God rescued him time and time again, whether it was from the lion or the bear on the mountainside while he was looking after his father's sheep, or whether it was from the giant in front of him. God came through for David every single time. He says he has rescued me. He's pulled me from the deep pits, from the mess, from the muck, and from the mire. And I want to say today, I know he's done it in my life as well. He's plucked me out from the mess that I found myself in those places where I needed only God could come through for me. He's done it in my life. I'm here today because God has redeemed me, because God has rescued me. And I want to declare he can do it in your life. Doesn't matter what corner the enemy might pin you in, our God is greater. Our God has won the victory. Our God is stronger this morning. He is able to redeem you from the mess that you might pull yourself in and set you on a rock, which is Christ Jesus. That is what our God can do. And he has done it because of what Jesus has done. Through Jesus's death, he has bought us with his precious blood. We have been redeemed from a life of darkness. We are now living in the kingdom of life. He has saved us from eternal death and from anything the enemy would do. He has given us, he gave his own life so that we could have life. It says in Colossians 1 verse 13 to 14, "For he," that's Jesus, "has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son, who purchased our freedom and forgive our sins." We were lost in our sins, but Jesus found us. Jesus found us. We were dead in our sins, but Jesus made us alive. And he can still do that in your life today. He can redeem you today. He is able to save. David goes on to say, not only does he redeem my life, he says, number four, he says, he crowns me with love and tender mercies. This is why he says, I'm praising God. You know, one of the things I love about our God is that he doesn't just forgive us of our sins and walk away. He is with us every step of the way. He is with us in every season of our life. He surrounds us. He covers us. He crowns us, blesses us. All that I have done wrong, but yet he'd still love me and forgive me and redeem me and bless me. I can't get over that. And all the things that God has done, he crowns us. And what does he crown us with? With love and with tender mercies. Jesus isn't harsh with us. No matter what people might say, Jesus isn't harsh with us. He is kind. He is gentle. He is patient. He is loving. He is merciful in our lives. He welcomes us even when we wander. Think about the story of the prodigal son, that wonderful image of God's love towards you and me. When that prodigal son who had wasted all the money and wandered away from his father, when the son comes back and the father sees him, does the father give him a lecture and tell him off? No, he doesn't. He runs towards him. He welcomes him. He puts a robe on him. He gets an expensive ring, puts it on him. He cooks him this amazing feast. That's our Savior. That what we did deserve, Jesus paid the price for. And now we can know his love and his mercy in our lives. Lamentations 3, verse 22 to 23. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Now, that's not a license for us to sin and do anything wrong and expect God just to welcome us back in. We're not to take granted God's mercy and forgiveness. We're not to do that, but we are to thank him that he has done it and he's able to forgive and restore and show mercy in our lives. He crowns us. He says, I'm thanking God because of his mercy every morning in my life. Number five, very quickly, he says, I'm thanking God because he fills my life with good things. The enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. The enemy wants to pull you away from God. He wants to distract you. He'll bring people into your life to lead you away from the good things that God wants to bless you with. He wants to lead you in those ways. But every good thing in my life, I know, has come from God. All the good things in my life has come from God. And through what Jesus has done, we have access to the blessing that the Father wants to give us. As the Ephesians says, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Did you know God wants to bless you? Some of us get a little bit, especially in Wales, I don't know, maybe in this, we get a little bit, God wants to bless you. And I'm not just on about finances for you, although he's able to provide in that way. But God wants to bless you in ways far greater than that. Spiritual blessings, life, peace, joy, goodness. He wants to bless you in ways that you cannot imagine through what Jesus has done. He blesses and fills our lives with good things. Even in hard seasons, when you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, the Bible says he prepares a table before in the presence of my enemies. He prepares a table for you. In other words, he sustains and provides and blesses even in the midst of the hard times. James 1 verse 17 says, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. There's an old hymn that used to be sung, count your blessings, name them one by one. Think of all the blessings in your life, all that God's done in your life. Think of all those things. May that cause you to give him praise today. We don't realize sometimes how faithful God's been and how good God has been. All the good things he's blessed in our lives is because of him. It's all because of him. And we should give him praise for that. And finally, David says, you're just in this part, he says, I'm thanking God because he says, my youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, David had seen many dark days in his life. He'd seen many hard times. That's one of the reasons why I love the Psalms, because they're real. He doesn't hide anything. He just shows us the story of our human lives, that, you know, you might come to a church and you think people are perfect. We all go through dark days. We all go through challenges, hardships. And David had seen dark days. But David declares here, he says that he knows what it's like to feel weak. He knows what it's like to feel weary. He knows what it's like to feel tired and worn out. But David says here, he says, in the midst of my tiredness and weariness, God give me a strength to put another step forward and just to keep on moving forward. It was because of the strength of God that I was able to keep on going. And you know, Jesus, he promises that for us as well. That if you're weary here this morning, if your soul is weary this morning, if you're tired from the pressures of life, come to the burden lifter this morning. Come to the one who is able to give you fresh strength to keep on going, to keep following after him, to keep chasing after him. Know there is a power available to you that surpasses anything this world can offer. Know that there is the power of the Holy Spirit that gives us fresh strength when we can't, when we feel like we can't go on. God's power comes and energizes us and strengthens us to keep on going. Isaiah 40, verse 28 to 31 says, "Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." Are you tired and worn out? Maybe it's time to turn to God instead of trying to go on in your own strength. Turn to the Lord. He breathes new life into tired bones. That's what our God does. He fills our lives with fresh fire, fresh passion for him. That's what he does. So as we come to a conclusion this morning of this message, you know, when I think about my mother and I think about her love and all that she has done for me, I'm overwhelmed with gratitude. There are not enough thank yous I could say to her. I know she's in that room there, but there are not enough thank yous. But you know, when I think and when I look at God this morning, when I think about my Savior this morning, who has loved me perfectly, who has forgiven me completely, who has healed me deeply, who's rescued me powerfully, who's crowned me daily with mercy and with goodness, there truly are never enough thank yous that I could say to him. Thank you for all that you have done. As it says in Psalm 103, verse 1 to 2, "Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. And may I never forget the good things he does for me." Let that be your posture today. Let that be your posture going forward as well. Let's not just be thankful on a Sunday, but let's be thankful every day for the one who has given us all that we have. Let's give thanks to him for the one who has given us his life.